Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Ches. And we begin about 10-15 lines down from the top at the two dots, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Nosan es hamole bereikon v'chule. After the Kohen Gadol had done the applications of both the par of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, and the Sor LaShem, he had done the blood applications first of the par, Lufnai v'lufnim, one up, seven down, then of the Sor LaShem, Lufnai v'lufnim, one up, seven down, then he did the applications of the par, in the Heichol, towards the Parochas, one up, seven down. Then he did the Sar Lashem, one up, seven down. Now he's completed that, and according to the Tana of our Mishnah, he then poured the Mole into the Reikon. He poured the Par, first the blood from the Par, into the Sar container, and then we explained it the way the final outcome is of the Gemara. He then re-pours back from the container that had now the mixture of the both bloods. He pours from that filled container with both bloods back into the empty container. He does this to mix this well. The Ritva brings down that since the blood is thick, it doesn't mix well. And based upon the drushes that we had yesterday, that we passing like Rav Hoshaya, where we said that it had to be one application, that it had to be achas, so therefore you want to make sure that it's mixed well, so that it's one application from the par and from the soyer, and not two applications. So that's why the Ritva says we have to do it this way. In any event, the Gemara now questions and says, is this really the understanding? It's going to have a different understanding first, based upon the following question. We're going to have a series of questions that Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda. And the first one is as follows. Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda, Hiniach Mizrach Bisoch Mizrach. What happens when somebody does Kabbalah of Dam, and he puts one Kli Sharis inside another Kli Sharis, and he does the Kabbalah's Hadam for regular carbon inside that container. Now that container is inside another container. So do we say when he does the Kabbalah of the Dam in that inner container, does the outer container ruin it for you? V'kibel es Hadam Mahu. Do we say that this is a good Kabbalah's Hadam or not? Do we say min bimino chotzeitz? Do we say that the outer container is a chatzitza between the Kohen's hand and the inner kli, and therefore it's a chatzitza because it says v'lokach es Hadam? He has to go and take the blood, and therefore he has to go and take it in his hand directly. And if he doesn't take it in his hand directly, so then it is not considered a good lekicha. V'hach lekicha, achizas hamizraki. When it says v'lokach, it means that you have to go and take it in your hand directly. So does this other container ruin it for you? Or do we say that in this situation, it's min bimino, and it doesn't ruin it for you? O eino chotze, since like things aren't considered a separation, so the second container is a like thing. It's min bimino, and it's not chotze. That's the question that Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda. Now, Amalei, Rav Chisda answers, and he says, our Mishnah, Tanisua, we learned this in our Mishnah. Doesn't it seem to say, Nosen es hamole bereikam? He takes the full container and puts it into the empty container. Doesn't that seem to imply, my love, that Hoshiv Mizrok mole letoch Mizrok reikon? The simple reading of the words is not like we've ultimately explained it, that he re-pours it back into the other container. But it seems to suggest that, no, after he pours the par's blood into the sar's container, so all the blood is now in the sar container, he then takes the full sar container, and the literal meaning of the words seems to suggest that he takes that Sawyer container and he places it into the now empty Par container, and then he has to do the applications from that double container, so to say, certainly implying the Lokach there is allowable to have a Min Bimino non-Chatzitza extra container around it. So therefore, Rav Chisda wants to answer. Rami Bar Chama says, our Mishnah says that that's acceptable, that it's not considered a chatzitza because it's min bimino, eino chotzeitz. So Gemara explains, no, it's like we've explained previously, lo. It doesn't mean that he places the full container into the empty container. It means he re-pours back. Ira mizrok mole l'toch mizrok reikon. He goes and re-pours it back from this filled container that has both of the bloods into the empty container. And now the empty container has both of the bloods, but he doesn't put the filled container inside the empty container. Morris says, but he already mixed it. Autonomy Reisha, we already said that he mixed it when he poured from the par into the sawyer container, Ira Dama Par, Letoch Dama Sar. So he already mixed it. Why would he have to mix it again? So Morris says, no, Kidei La Arvan Yofa Yofa, because we want to go and mix it very well. Blood is thick. We want to make sure it's mixed. As I mentioned, the Ritva's ideal concern is that it's not going to be called Achas unless it's mixed very, very well. And therefore, You have to remix it again. So understand that it has nothing to do with the question of, is a Kli Sharis inside another Kli Sharis a Chatzitza or not a Chatzitza? Our Mishnah has nothing to do with that answer. Tashma, we try again. We have the Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah in Zvachim tells us, Haya Omed Al Gabi Kli. If a person is standing on a Kli. Now, you're supposed to do the Avodah barefoot on the floor. There shouldn't be no Chatzitza between your foot and the floor. The floor of the Azara has the status, so to say, of being a Kli Sharis. And therefore, you have to be standing directly on the floor when you do all of the Avodahs. What happens if you stand on a Kli? Haya Omed Al Gabi Kli. Or, Al Gabi Regel Chaveru. Or, if you stand on the foot of another Kohen. Then, in this situation, possible. The avoda is no good because it's a chatzitza in between your foot and the floor. Either the kli is interposing or the other kohen's foot is interposing. Clearly you see, even though the foot is min bimino, so clearly you see that even min bimino is chotzitz. Therefore, we can answer Rami Bar Chama's question by saying that even a kli within another kli is considered a chatzitza, even though it's min bimino, because the foot is min bimino and it is chotzeitz, clearly from this Mishnah in Zvachim. Shmuel says, no, you can't bring me a right for the Mishnah in Zvachim, shiny regal. A regal is different. Now, the girsa that we have is the lo motzi mivatale, because we have an understanding here that a leg cannot become botel. Shiny regal to lo motzi mivatale. You can't nullify a leg. A leg is something that's always significant. It can never be nullified. That's the girsa that we have. Rashi has a slightly different girsa. He says de lo mivatale. He says that chaveru es raglo achigmar vodoso. You can't go and be mivato your friend's foot. He needs it, so to say. And therefore, you can't be mevatalit while you're doing the avoda. In any event, whatever girsa that you have, the understanding is the same, that the case of a regal is unique. And it has nothing to do with a kli besoch kli. So even though a regel is a chatzitza, even though it's min bimino, it is a chatzitza. That's because the regel is not able to become nullified. However, a kli within another kli, min bimino, that possibly could be mevatel, and therefore it isn't necessarily going to be the same answer. If a regel is not able to be mevatel, and therefore it's a chatzitza, that doesn't imply that a kli, besoch kli, is also not going to be able to be mevatel. No, maybe a kli, besoch kli, could be mevatel, and we're left with our original question of Rami Bar Chama. That's version number one of Rami Bar Chama's question. Alternatively, Iko di Amre, Hochi Boimine. Others say that this was the question that Rami Bar Chama asked with Chista. This exact question of the kli besoch kli, he says, is this called the derech sherus bekach? Ein derech sherus bekach. Even if you want to say that min bimino is not mevatel, so do we say over here that this, in fact, is considered a valid sherus? It's considered a valid avoda in this fashion. Or do we say, no, this is not the normal way to do the avoda. And if you don't do the avoda in the normal way, so even though it's not a problem of chatzitza, but this isn't called doing the avoda. The avoda means that you do it properly and not a kli besoch kli. So that was some suggesting the question that Rabbi Rachami asked Rav Chisda. Here we definitely have a clear answer. Toshma, because here we have a braisa that they learned the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, they learned the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says, the lochu es kol klei hashores asher yishor subam bakodesh. So it says you shall take all of the klei hashores. Now, klei is plural, hashores is singular. So therefore, in this situation, when it says you should take all of the klei shores, so it means that you can take even a kli besoch kli. That's klei. That's plural. That it's still identified and called hashores. Even though there are two kelim here, it is still considered a normal sherus. So therefore, shnei kelim v'sherus achas. Even though there are two kelim here, a keli betoch keli, that nevertheless is still defined as a sherus achas, and therefore, Rami Bar Chama's question is definitively answered that it is still acceptable, a kli besoch kli, because it's not a problem of chatzitza, because it's min bimino, and it's not a concern of a lack of sherus. The pasuk specifically says that this is still considered an appropriate sherus. Another question, another question that Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda is as follows. Hiniach siv besoch hamizrach. If a kohen were to put a sieve, now a sieve is something that we've had in a number of places. Rashi reminds us, hagodel soviv hadeko. This is the growth of the palm tree that is soft in the first year and eventually hardens, that grows around the palm tree. It's often referred to as bast. The nichrach olav soviv, and it eventually wraps itself around the palm tree, and in the second year it hardens. And kimin lulavim, it's like palm fronds. The hurach, it's soft originally. The sofek es adam, it can act as a sponge to absorb blood. Now, v'adam yotze mikol evorav v'enuchotzeitz kol kach. And therefore, if you were to put a piece of sieve inside the container, so would we say that it absorbs the blood and therefore it is going to be a chatzitza? Or do we say, no, the blood passes through this sieve because it's a porous material and therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza? And that's the question that Rabbi Racham is asking Rav Chisda. You have in this mizrak, in this kli sharis that you're doing Kabbalah with, a sieve. Why he did this? That's never the interest of the Gemara. He did this. We're talking about a theoretical case where he put this sieve inside the Mizrak, and then he collects the blood. The Kibel Boas Adam. So is this considered a valid Kabbalah without a Chatzitz or not? Mahu. Rami Rachama asks, do we say this is now Min B'She'enam Ino? Certainly, the sieve is not the same material as the Klishares. One is metal, and one is palm fronds. And therefore, it is a Chatzitz, because it's Min B'She'enam Ino, and therefore it's Chotzeitz, and therefore you didn't do the Kabbalah properly, because you have something intervening between the Klishares and the blood. Or do we say, oh, wait, no, chotzeitz. We say, no, it's porous, and the blood goes right through it, and therefore the blood is in the kli sharis, because it goes right through this porous material, the sieve. That's the question. Limar explains this. Kivan the mechalchel lo chayitz. Since it's moist, so to say, it goes right through, it's not considered a chatzitza. Or do we say, oh, dilma lo shna? What difference does it make the fact that the blood is going to go through this? The bottom line is, it's a chatzitza. So that is the question. Rav Chisda responds, Amalei, Rav Chisda says, Tanina, we learn this in the following Mishnah. Now this is a Mishnah in Parah. For those that are doing the Mishnah Yomis every day, something I always highly recommend, you'll really get a full yediyah of all of Shas, and it'll supplement the Daf Yomi so well by doing the Mishnah Yomis. First of all, it's just a constant reminder of stuff that you've learned. So it's a chazara, a way to chazar the daf, is to go through all the mishnayis on the daf in a separate cycle. But in addition, the Mishnah Yomis goes through mesechtas like Parah, for which there is no Gemara, and for which the daf Yomi never would ever learn about. So therefore, for those that are doing the Mishnah Yomis, this should sound very familiar. This Mishnah on Parah is talking about the Nechatos, the waters of the Parah Duma, that you've added ashes, the special water, that you've running water, the spring water, the Mayan water, that you've added the ashes of the Parah Duma to. So there are a number of rules there that apply as well. So you're not allowed to have anything chotzeitz in that situation between the water and the kli. It has to be the Nosan Mayim Chayim El Keli. So you have to have the water in the kli itself. You can't have any interposition. So you're going to see it's going to be analogous to the sieve inside the Mizrak. You're not allowed to have anything intervening between the blood and the kli. So too with the Mechatas, you're not allowed to have anything intervening between the pouring of the water from the spring into this special kli, this tahar kli, for eventually putting in the efer of the Parah Aduma into this kli and creating Mechatas. So the Mishnah in Parah tells us, Tanina zolef v'holech ad shemagia l'sfok. You have the Mayan water that entered into this shokes, into this hollowed out rock container, and you have a sponge there. Again, don't ask why they put a sponge in it. Now, you want to go and take this water and put it into another kli sharis, but you don't want to take the water from the sponge, because the water from the sponge is going to be no good, because that wasn't water that was put into a kli sharis. So what do? You go and pour off zolef, the holech, you tilt the rock and pour off the water, achimagila svok, until you start getting water level below the svok. And now water would be coming out of the svok. Until now, the water's in the svok, but once you tilt it enough, so you're going to have water coming out from the svok, and that's no good. Now, we certainly say over here that until you reach that level of water, any water that comes out is fine. It's considered that it was in the kli sharis, in the shokes. And it's not considered that was min be'eino mino chotzeitz. So let us bring a raya. Rav Chisda says to Rami Bar Chaba that clearly, even though you had the sieve inside the mizrak, it's not considered a chatzitza. Just like in the case of the shokes, the water in the sponge inside the svog is not considered that the svog was a chatzitza to the rest of the water. So therefore, the same thing would apply to the Mizrak, to our Kli Sharet, that you do the Kabbalah, the sieve is not considered a Chatzitza. Someone says, that's not a Raya. Shiny Maya, the cliche. You know why the water is not a problem? Because water is very, very thin, and water is not viscous, and water is going to easily be separable from the sponge. and you can pour off the water, and the water will stay inside the sponge. But the sieve, that is a thicker material, and even though the blood will be able to go through it somewhat, no, one could argue that the sieve would be a chatzitza. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya from mayim, that is klisha, to the sieve that is ova, the blood in the sieve that is ova. So that was version one of Rami Bar Chama's question. Second version is the same question, but it gives a different teretz. Ikad the Ame, the Rav Chisda gave the following teretz. Hochi Poshatle, he said, here's how you answer it. Bidam kosher, in regards to the blood, and you have the sieve inside the blood container, so that's not considered a chatzitza. Bidam, it's kosher. But bekometz, posel. The question was not comparing dam to the paraduma water, but comparing the dam to doing a kmitza. When you do a kmitza, so the kohen goes and takes the flour offering, he sticks his hand into it in the way we mentioned previously, with the three middle fingers pulling out the handful known as the kmitza, and then he has to take that kmitza and place that into a kli sharis, and the kmitza inside that kli sharis is then put up on the mizbeach, and that is the haktaras hakmitza. Now, if he were to have a sieve inside this kli sharis where we put the mincha, that is no good. In the case of the mizrak with the dam inside the sieve in the mizrak, so the sieve is considered porous, the dam goes through, and even though it's min b'shein omino, it is not considered a chatzitza. But by the mincha, that's considered a chatzitza, because the mincha is solid, and it's not going to go through even a very porous type of a sieve, because it's solid material. And that's what Rashi says over here. But kometz posel, when you're doing the kiddush of the kometz, ton liskadish b'kli, liachar kmitza, after you take the kmitza, you have to put into kli shares, v'hu kineged ha-kabola b'dam. And that's the equivalent of the kabola in the dam, that the dam from the neck of the animal has to go into kli shares, so to the kmitza, after the equivalent of the shchita, the kmitza is like the shchita, you have to put it into kli sharis. So in regards to the kmitza, it's potzel the chayitz, because the sieve is considered non-porous in regards to something solid like the kometz, which is flour, as opposed to something like blood. It is considered porous, and it's not chotze. So that's the answer that Rav Chisda gave to Rami Bar Chama, that the sieve is not a problem, as opposed to the kmitza, where it would be a problem. That concludes this sugya from today, and we turn to Nun Ches Omid Beis, and we begin a brand new Mishnah, continuing in the Avod of the Kohen Gadol. So the Pasuk starts off, and it tells us, I read it all Pasuk, it says, V'yotza el ha-mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem. After the Kohen Gadol finishes doing the 32 blood applications, so now he has to go to the Mizbeach, the Chiper Olov, he has to do the Kapara on the inner Mizbeach, which we'll see is four applications, one on each corner of the Mizbeach, and then subsequently seven on top of the Mizbeach, the Chiper Olov. And it says, V'lokach midam ha-par u'midam ha-soyer. The way our Tana of our Mishnah will understand this is that they mix them together. This is the whole discussion we had at the end of yesterday's shir. He takes the dam of the par and the dam of the sor mixed together, and the Tana of our Mishnah will say, the nosan al karnos ha-mizbeach sovir. And he goes and places them, when they're mixed together, one application on each of the four corners of the mizbeach. So we've gone from 32 applications, now we have 36 applications, and then he'll subsequently do another seven applications on the top, and that will get us to the base of 43 applications that the Kohen Gadol does between the par and the sor, both lufnai lufnim, in the Hechel towards the Peroches, and in the Hechel on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the golden Mizbeach. So that's what the Mishnah tells us, V'yotzeh l'Mizbeach HaShel Lefnei Hashem. So it means that he goes now to the inner Mizbeach to do these four applications on the corners. Now, where does he come from? He's coming from the area in between the Mizbeach and the Peroches. That's where we just did the applications, one up, seven down, of the par towards the peroches, and one up and seven down of the soil Hashem towards the peroches. He then mixes the bloods, and hischil mechate v'yore. He goes over to the corner of the mizbeach, we'll see which corner in a second, and he begins to be mechate v'yore. He goes and brings the blood down on each corner of the mizbeach. We'll see in a moment exactly what we're referring to. As the Mishnah explains further, mechate is a lashon of being either mitaher or of coming down, of being yored the blood onto the mizbeach. So, hischil mechate v'yored, and then the Mishnah asks, mehechan u'masra, the four corners on the inner mizbeach, which corner does he start doing these applications? It requires a separate application on each corner. And does he walk around and literally stand in front of each corner where he does the application. So he stand in one place and do the application. Since the inner Mizbech is very small, the actual space at the top of the Mizbech is only one Amma by one Amma, not including the corners, and therefore it's a very easily reachable for one side to go and hit the other four sides, the side he's in front of, as well as the other three sides. So that's what the Mishnah asks, Mehechlu Masa, where does he start doing these four different single blood applications on each corner of the Mizbeach? So the Tana of our Mishnah tells us, the Tanakhama says, Mikaren Mizrachis Sifonis. The first corner that he'll start from is Mizrachis Sifonis, the northeast corner. Again, when you're coming towards the Mizbeach, you're going to hit the western side first. You're coming from a more western position. As you're going east towards the Mizbeach, you're going to come to the western side of the Mizbeach first. There's a northwestern side and a southwestern side. As we'll see, based upon Psukim, you bypass those two corners, and instead you first go to the corner known as the Mizrachis Sifonis, the northeastern corner. That's the one that you go to according to our Tana Kama. And then after that, you always turn to the right. So it's your northeast corner. Turning to the right means going counterclockwise. You're moving sideways. So then you go to the Tzfonis Marabis. You're going to go to the northwest corner and do the application there. Then you can continue turning to the right, which will be counterclockwise. And the next corner that you look would be the Marabis Dromis, the southwest corner. And then you'll apply the Dam there. And then you'll go to the final corner, Dromis Mizrachis. You turn right, again, Kolpino Shatapona Liyamin. You go counterclockwise to the southeast corner, which will be the final corner that you get to, which, by the way, to help you remember this, the Gemara says, Markum Shumaskil Bechatos Amizba Beachachitzon. That corner which you first put on the chatas to, when you're doing the outer Mizbeach, a regular carbon chatas, you start in the southeast corner as a way to remember that you end up here. In the southeast corner, you remember that the place that you start doing the chatas in the outer Mizbeach, Misham HaYagomer, Al Mizbeach HaPnimi. That happens to be the same place where you finish doing the applications on Yom Kippur for the inner Mizbeach. So it's a mnemonic, a help way to remember it. The place that you're starting in the outer Mizbeach, when you're doing a regular chatas, the southeast corner, that's the place that you end up over here, because you're starting in the northeast corner and you're turning counterclockwise. So northeast, northwest, southwest, southeast. That is the Tana Kama's opinion. And it will help to remind you, if you know this idea, that the outer Mizbeach, you start in the southeast, and in the inner Mizbeach, you finish in the southeast. That's what the Tana Kama says. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. Rabbi Eliezer says the Mizbeach is very small. You don't have to walk all the way around it. You go to a specific corner and you do the applications from standing at that corner for the corner in front of you as well as the other three corners. You stand still. You don't have to walk around. And your hand goes around and you move your hand to the, each of the four corners. And for all of the four corners, you have to go for all the four corners going from the bottom, going up. When you're doing the blood application along the corner, you take your finger dipped in the blood. By these applications, it says venosan, which means you actually put it on it. In regards to the other applications, it was vihiza. So for the first 32 applications, it was a sprinkling. You didn't actually touch anything. You sprinkled. But here, it says venosan in the pasuk. And therefore, you have to apply it physically, you touch your finger with the blood on it to the corner. And for three of the corners, you're going to go from the bottom of the corner up, the Amma by Amma by Amma corner. So you go to the bottom of that corner, and you put the finger with the blood on the bottom, and you go up along that corner. Milamata limala. That's for three of the four corners. With the one exception, chutz mizu shoyselafonim, except for the corner that you're right in front of, because if you were to do it from the bottom up, the way your finger is going to go up is a chance that blood will get on your shirt. And blood shouldn't get on your shirt. That would be a problem on the tunic that he's wearing. So therefore, for the corner that he's right in front of, it makes more sense, shoyanose mi lamala lamata. You go in a downward motion so the blood won't get on your shirt in that fashion. So this is Rabbi Lez's opinion. It differs from the Tana Kama, in that you don't walk according to Rabbi Eliezer, you stand still and you place the blood in the four corners. Now, the Mishnah continues, Al Toharo Shel Mizbeach Sheva Pamim. After you do the four corners, there is an additional seven applications that are done on the Toharo Shel Mizbeach. That means the top of the Mizbeach. The Gemara will explain why the top of the Mizbeach is called Toharo Shel Mizbeach. In any event, you do seven applications over there as well. These are called Hiza, though. These aren't Nosan. These you sprinkle onto the top of the Mizbeach. So now, according to the simple understanding that the two are mixed together for the four, the par and the soyer are mixed when you do the four applications on the four corners. They're still mixed, obviously, when you're doing the seven applications. So there are only 11 applications in total, four plus seven, that you're doing with the par and the soyer together. You add these 11 to the prior 32, you get 43. And now the rest of the blood that you have mixed together from the par and from the soyer l'Hashem is called the shrayim, the leftovers. Ushiyari hadam, this leftover blood is hayashofech ayisod ma'arovi shel mizbeach achitzon. The Kohen Gadol leaves the heichal, goes out of the heichal eastern direction towards the mizbeach achitzon, towards the outer mizbeach, the mizbeach hanechoshes, the kapa mizbeach, and he goes to the western corner. The yesod, the base, the bottom of the mizbeach was a 32 by 32 amma block, albeit, as we mentioned many times, there was a part of the mizbeach that didn't have the yesod. So the amma that was on the eastern aspect and part of the northern aspect was not fully filled in. In any event, we won't go through that right now, but there certainly was a yesod along the entire southern and western aspect of the mizbeach, and he poured this on the Yisod Hamaravi of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. We'll get in the Gemara to say exactly where he poured this on. Now, the Mishnah continues. It says, "Shel Mizbeach HaChitzon, for all the korbanos that were poured, the applications on the Mizbeach HaChitzon." Now we're no longer talking about Yom Kippur. We're talking about the regular applications that were done on the outer Mizbeach. For those applications, the Shiyari Hadam, HaYishofech HaYisod Dromi, he would put those on the southern yesod, on the base that was on the southern side. And we'll see in a moment what does it mean, really, the western base, and what does it mean, the southern base. They both were actually in a corner, and we'll see what we're referring to as western, and we'll see what we're referring to as southern. In any event, the shiorim, the Yom Kippur par and soyer, were poured on the outer mizbeach. The shiorim were poured on the mizbeach hachitzon by the ma'arabi side, and the regular shiorim of blood applications that were done on the outer Mizbeach themselves, non-Yom Kippur, they were poured on the Yisod, on the southern side, the Yisod Dromi of the Mizbeach. And both of them, Elu v'Elu, the blood after it was poured into these containers that were in the Mizbeach, would go down through the Mizbeach, and Misarvin ba'ama, and would eventually go and mix in with the blood and water that was running through the canal that was through the Azara, Misarvin Ba'ama. It would leave the Beis HaMikdash, it would go out from the Azara, and it would go down the Yotzil Lanachal Kidron, it would go down to the Kidron Valley, and there they would sell it. V'nimkarin Liganon and Lezevel, and this blood-filled water was very good fertilizer, and they would sell it to the people that gardened in the Kidron Valley. They would sell it to the farmers that were over there. However, it also tells us Umolim that if they were to use it without buying it, so then there would be Me'ila. Now we'll eventually see that once an avoda is done, there is no din of Me'ila anymore. So here the avoda is done, so how could there be Me'ila? So the Gemara will eventually explain that this is not Me'ila d'Oraisa, this is only a special Me'ila d'Rabbanon. And we'll learn more about this as we go through the Gemara. So let's start off with the Gemara right now. And we quote a Braisa, Tana Rabbanon. The Pasuk says, when the Kohen Gadol comes, the Yotzo El HaMizbeach. We read the Pasuk at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Yotzo El HaMizbeach. He goes out to the Mizbeach. He's going again from where he stood when he did the applications towards the Parochas. He's standing in the Hechel close to the Parochas. He's between the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Parochas. And he leaves that area, Yotz El Mizbeach. He goes in an eastern direction to the Mizbeach, where he does the four applications. So, Matam Lomar, what is this teaching us? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya says, Levi Shematzinu Bipar HaBoav Kol HaMitzos. Now, there is a special par. There are three Chatos Pnimios. We've discussed some of them already. This is separate from the two that are brought on Yom Kippur. The two that are brought on Yom Kippur, the par of the Kohen Gadol and the Soyer l'Hashem, they are applications not only in the Heichal itself, but they're also Lefnai v'Lefnim. Then you have three other, what are called Chatos Pnimios. This is the par that is the brought on Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. If Klai Yisrael follows the Sanhedrin and does something incorrectly, as we've mentioned many times, instead of bringing their own individual Soyer as a Chatos, so all of Klai Yisrael brings a par, known as the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. If they did this with the instruction of the Sanhedrin for Rachman al-Slan to commit Avodah Zarah, and they all did it, so instead of each one bringing an individual carbon for their Avodah Zarah, transgression by accident, so they bring a soyer of similar to like a soyer Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, and that's for Avodah Zarah. So those are two. of the three chatos of pnimius. The third one is when the Kohen Gadol mistakenly instructs himself. He says, I paskin this, and it's wrong. So instead of him bringing a soyer, so he brings a par as well. And this is known par haboa kol amitzos. If the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake, so he brings a par to bring atonement for him. Shakoin omed chutz lemizbeach umaze ala paroches b'shosh umaze. As opposed to the par and the soyer l'Hashem of Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol is standing close to the paroches, he's standing between the mizbeach and the paroches, and he does his sprinkling towards the paroches from that location that's close to the paroches. When he does the sprinklings towards the paroches from his own personal par that he's brought when he made a mistake in psak halacha, so then he stands easternmost of the mizbeach. He's on the eastern side of the mizbeach, and he does his sprinklings far away towards the paroches, which is far away from him. He's not standing in between the mizbeach and the paroches. He's standing eastern of the inner mizbeach, and he's doing the sprinkling in that direction. For those that are having trouble visualizing this, the Masifta has some very nice pictures of this as well, but hopefully it was clear. Shakoin omed chutz lemizbeach, he's standing eastern of the mizbeach hapnimi, and umaze ala paroches, he's maze in the general direction of the paroches, which is far away. B'shoshu maze, and somewhere in course the words b'shoshu maze, that's repetitious. In any event, he's standing far away. So I might have said, yochol avzeh kein, I might have thought that the Kohen Gadol should also stand far away, just like the par of the Kohen Gadol, when he brings that, he's standing far away from the paroches. So I might think that the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, should also stand far away. He should be east of the Mizbeach and not between the Mizbeach and the paroches. I might have thought that, Talmud Lomar. That's why the pasuk says, V'yotze el Mizbeach. He leaves the area that's close to the paroches, V'yotze el Mizbeach, and he goes eastern direction towards the Mizbeach. Heichon hoya lifnim min haMizbeach. So obviously, when he was standing, the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, doing the sprinklings, one up and seven down for the par, one up and seven down for the Soyer l'Hashem, he was close to the paroches, in between the mizbeach and the paroches. And afterwards, he's yotzu el mizbeach, he goes towards the mizbeach. We have another brisa, Tanya Yidach, says in the following brisa, when the Kohen brings his special korban, that when he made a mistake based upon his mistaken horah, so he has to bring his special par, this chatos hapnimi, not on Yom Kippur, but the par of the Kohen Gadol for making a mistake. So it says that he has to stand lifnei Hashem. The beginning of the pasuk says, "V'nosan akoyim min hadam al karnos mizbach kitoris asamim." He's taking the blood and putting it on the corners of the mizbach of the kitoris asamim, the inner mizbeach, which is standing lifnei Hashem. What does it mean, lifnei Hashem? Ma tamu lomu? Why does it have to tell me the mizbeach that is lifnei Hashem? So again, Omer Rabbi Nechemia, like before, Rabbi Nechemia tells us, "Lefi shematzino bepar v'sor shom kippurim," because the par in the sor of Yom Kippur, there the kohen is standing in between the Mizbeach and the Paroches. Shakoin Omei Lifnim in HaMizbeach. He's more west. He's in towards the Holy of Holies, more in the Heichal. So he's in between the Mizbeach and the Paroches. Umaze la Paroches, B'shosh umaze. Again, the words B'shosh umaze are a little bit unnecessary. So that's where he's standing, close to the Paroches. So I might have thought, Yochol Avzeh Kein. So I might have thought that the Kohen, when he brings his special power for making a sin, not in Yom Kippur, a regular power for any of the sins that he did through incorrect Torah, that he should also stand over there. That's why the pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem, Talmud Lomar, Mizbach Ketoros HaSamim, this is the Mizbeach of the Ketoros HaSamim, the inner Mizbeach, Lifnei Hashem, Asher Be'ol Moed. And he's standing in front of it. In other words, he's more east of it when he's doing this sprinkling. So again, the two locations are different. The Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, the Kohen Lifnei Hashem. We darshan this, that the Mizbeach is in front of Hashem, but not the Kohen in front of Hashem. In other words, the Kohen has to be more east of the Mizbeach. Okay, tzad, omed chutz la Mizbeach umase. So the blood applications for the Kohen Gadol, when he's doing his par, not on Yom Kippur, he stands east of the Mizbeach, and he does a sprinkling in towards the paroches, which is far distant. But on Yom Kippur, when he's doing the par of the Kohen Gadol, and when he's doing the Soyer l'Hashem, then he's standing much more west of the Mizbeach, right in front of the paroches, and that's what Rabbi Nechemia darshins these two psukim in these two brises. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hischul Mechati V'yori V'chule, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol finishes the 32 applications, he just did the one up, seven down of the par towards the paroches, the one up, seven down of the Soyer l'Hashem towards the paroches, he pours the blood together according to the Tana of a Mishnah, and now he's moving from that spot, which we just said was close to the paroches, west of the Mizbeach, and now he has to go towards the Mizbeach. and Hischil Mechate V'Yorid, and he starts doing the applications on the four corners of the Mizbeach, according to the Tanakhama. He actually walks around to the four corners, and he starts off in the northeast corner, according to the Tanakhama. Here we have a Braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Hischil Mechate V'Yorid. He starts doing the applications on each corner. So Mehechan, Hoya Maschil, which corner did he start from? So here we're going to have a different opinion than the one we had in our Mishnah first. Here it says, Mehechan Hoya Maschil, Mekaren Mizrachis Deromis. He starts off in the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. In our Mishnah, we said he started off in the northeast corner of the Mizbeach. And then he goes from the southeast corner, instead of turning right, going counterclockwise, in fact, he goes clockwise. He turns to the left, which we'll have to explain. He then goes to Dromis Maravis. He goes to the southwest corner. And then he continues to go left. He goes Maravis Tzvonis. He goes to the northwest corner, and then he continues to go left clockwise to the Tzvonis Mizrachis, to the northeast corner. The exact opposite of our Mishnah. This is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rashi explains, why does he do it this unusual, strange order, different than the one in the Mishnah? Because Kesavar Shtei Parochos Hayu. Rashi explains that Rabbi Akiva holds, like the opinion that we had the other day, that there were two parochas in, and it opened up on the southern side, and then he traversed from south to north in between the two parochas in, and he entered into the Holy of Holies on the northern side. So in any event, when the Kohen comes out, after doing the Lefnai V'Lefnim, he's going to be more southern. Vachitzona Prusa Prufa Min Hadarom. It was opened on the southern side, as we learned previously. Ukishiyotzami Beis Kodesh Kedoshim Derech Hadarom Hizo Ala Paroches. He did the applications more south. Ukishihishlim, when he finished doing those, the first corner that he's going to come to, because he's a little bit south, is Balo Lemizbeach Lidromis Maravis. The first corner he'll reach would be the southwest corner. And normally we have a rule, Zerizim Akdim Lemitzos, you should do it over there. However, even though that's the first one, Shia Rishonalo, nevertheless, Shom Lohaya Nosin, he wasn't able to do the blood application first on the southwest corner, because the Pasuk said, the Yotza El HaMizbeach, he has to go beyond the Mizbeach. So when he's southwest, he's still not beyond the Mizbeach. So he has to go on the southern side to the further corner, which would be the southeast corner. The Yotza Adenofik Mikule Mizbeach. He's now totally east of the Mizbeach on the southeastern side. And Lefikoch, the first one he'll go to is Yotzil Mizrachas Deromis. And he'll put the application first, this Hisro Machate Vyorid, on the southeast corner first. Umaskul Sham. But then he wants to go back to the one that he bypassed because Zerizim Akdim Lemitzos, the Choser Derech Smo, and that's why he'll go left, even though we normally go right, so he'll go clockwise instead of going counterclockwise, to get back to Lemarov's Deromis, because that was the one that he bypassed, and we don't want to in any way say that that wasn't an important corner, and therefore he goes back to it right away. That's how Rashi explains Rabbi Akiva's rationale for going first to the southeast corner and then going clockwise instead of the normal counterclockwise. So state Rabbi Akiva. Then we have Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, like the Tana of our Mishnah. Mikere Mizrach is Sifonis. He first starts the application in the northeast corner. And then he goes in a clockwise direction, Tzvonis Maravis, to the northwest corner, because Kolapino Shatapona Liyomin. And then he goes Maravis Dromis to the southwest corner. And then he continues in the counterclockwise direction to Dromis Mizrachis, to the southeast corner. And it turns out that Mokum Shrebi Yosei Glili the Maskel, the place that Yosei Glili starts, that's actually the place Shom Rebbe Akiva Posek. That's the place that Rebbe Akiva ends. So the northeast corner is where Rabbi Yossi Glili starts, and the northeast corner is where Rabbi Akiva ends, and vice versa. Mokum Rabbi Akiva Maskel, the place that Rabbi Akiva starts, which is the southeast corner, Shom Rabbi Yossi Glili posting. That's where Rabbi Yossi Glili ends. So they're opposite of each other. Now, the Gemara says, Dekuli Alma, everybody agrees, Mia, Bahau Karen Depaga Beresha, Lo Avid. They all agree that you bypass the first corner. I've already explained this from Rashi, but both Rav Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva both bypass. Rabbi Akiva bypasses the southwest corner and goes to the southeast corner, and Rav Yosef Glili bypasses the northwest corner and goes to the northeast corner. How come? Why? But how Karen the Pugger Rachel Lo of it? Why don't they do the Avoda on the first corner that they reach? They only have a principle. Zrizin Makdim Lemitzvos. And we don't go pass over a mitzvah. So my timer. So as I already explained, Amar Shmuel, the Amar Kor, because the Pasuk says, V'yod Salam Mizbeach. You have to go totally east of the Mizbeach. You have to go from where you were standing
the Kohen Gadol, when he was standing doing the applications toward the Parochas, in between the Mizbeach and the Parochas, he now has to go V'yotz al-Mizbeach, he has to go totally east of the Mizbeach, and therefore, depending on which side you are, according to Rabbi Kiva, you're a little bit south. According to Rabbi Yossi Glili, you're a little bit north. So that's what each of them gets to, respectively, Rabbi Akiva, the southeast corner, and Rabbi Yossi Glili gets to the northeast corner. Adinofik mikule Mizbeach.
Now the Gemara continues. I already gave the answer to this, but here's the Gemara's question. L'Rabbi Akiva, nakif derech yomin. We said that Rabbi Akiva goes in a clockwise direction, turns to the left. He goes from the southeast to the southwest, then to the northwest, and then to the northeast. Why doesn't he go in the normal counterclockwise direction called pino shata pone liyomin? So why doesn't he do that? L'Rabbi Akiva, nakif derech yomin. That's what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, maybe he argues with that. Lema b'derami bar Yecheskel komiflegi. Maybe he argues with this principle that you always turn to the right. After all, the Amar Rabbi Yecheskel, that this idea that you always turn to the right is based upon the Yam Shel Shlomo. We have the famous sefer from the Marshal, the Yam Shel Shlomo. So it is from a structure that was in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo Melech built. There was this huge basin. Yom Sha'aso Shlomo. He built a huge container that was held up in support by 12 statues of oxen. So Omer al Shnemoso Bokor. There were 12 Bokor, three in each direction, three north, three south, three east, three west, that were supporting this structure. They were, again, all statues. So Omer al Shnemoso Bokor, Shlosha Ponim Safona. Three of them are turning in the northern direction. Then it says, Ushlosha Ponim Yoma. And three of them are facing towards the Yam, the west. And then you have Ushlosha Ponim Negba. Three of them are facing south. And Ushlosha Ponim Mizracha. And then three are facing east. Now, in this orientation, we went from north to west to south to east. In other words, we turned in a counterclockwise direction. And it says, Vayam Aleim, and this huge basin that was on top of them, Milmala, the Chol HaChorein Bais, and each of them was, their faces were outwards and their behinds were towards the center. Now, from the fact that it listed in this specific order, Holomarat, so Rami Bar Yecheskel says, we learn from here, Shukolpino Shata Pone, Lo Yuel Derech Yomin La Mizrach, that all should be turning in a counterclockwise direction, ultimately going towards the east. So, for example, when a person's facing the Mizbeach, a Kohen Gadol goes up the ramp from the south to the north, and he goes up to the top of the Mizbeach, so he's always going to turn to the east, to his right. And then, as he's facing the Mizbeach, he's going to keep on turning right, and that will be in a counterclockwise direction. So here's the kasha. Maybe Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like this din of Rami Bar Yecheskel. Shmuel says, Mar Islay the Rami Bar Yecheskel, that the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Glili, who says that we turn in a counterclockwise direction, he had said that we start off in the northeast, then go to northwest, then go to southwest, go to southeast. That's in a counterclockwise direction. Oh, Rabbi Yossi Glili holds like Rami Bar Yecheskel. Umar and Rabbi Akiva, let's say the Rami Bar Yecheskel. Maybe that's a simple answer. Shmuel says, no. In fact, everybody holds like Rami Bar Yecheskel. Lo, Tikuli Alma Islay the Rami Bar Yecheskel. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that we normally turn in a counterclockwise direction. So how come over here he says not? Here he says in a clockwise direction. As I already mentioned before, this is what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Glili argue about. Mar sovar yafinon pinim michutz. Rabbi Yossi Glili says that just like that we go, we're on the outer Mizbeach, we always go in a counterclockwise direction. So too on the inner Mizbeach, we go in a counterclockwise direction. And therefore, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Glili. On the other hand, Umar sovar Rabbi Akiva holds lo yafinon pinim michutz. You can't learn out what is done in the outer Mizbeach, that you go counterclockwise to saying automatically the same thing should be done in the inner Mizbeach. Where it says, wait a second, Rabbi Akiva, Nhi de lo yolef pinim michutz, Skoki, granted, he's not going to learn the inner Mizbeach traversing from the outer Mizbeach traversing, but why did he insist that it should be done in a clockwise direction? He should have said, okay, you don't learn out that you must turn to the right, so should be a fielder's choice. If the coin wishes to go to the right, counterclockwise, gizuntate. If he wishes to go to the left, clockwise, gizuntate. Nehi, the lo yolof pnim michutz, he's not learning it out, but why? Iboy hochi navit. He should be able to go either way, should be a fielder's choice. Why does Rabbi Akiva seem to insist that he has to go and turn in a left direction, a clockwise direction? So I already explained this before. Amalach Rabbi Akiva would say, Medina, in fact, the din should have been the Hau Keren de Paga Beresha when he came across the southwest corner first as he's leaving on the southern side of the
area between the Mizbeach and the Parochas is a little bit to the south, because he came out on the southern side, like Rabbi Akiva says, that there's two Parochas, and so therefore the exit was on the southern side. So therefore, the first corner that he would hit coming out a little bit south from the middle would be the southwestern corner. So, Bidina, Bahau, Karen, the Pog, Bereisha, the southwest corner, Bahau, Ovid, Bereisha, that's the one that he should have done the applications on first. However, because we had the Pasuk, it said, V'yotzel Mizbeach, that he had to go all the way beyond the Mizbeach. So therefore, he went to the southeast corner. But, however, since the Omer Reish Lakish, Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvos, the Reish Lakish's opinion is, and this is how we, Paschal L'maisa, we never want to pass over a mitzvah. If you have a mitzvah in front of you, mitzvah bo'al yodcho altach mitzena, don't delay doing it. So therefore, he should have done it on the southwest corner. But because of the Pasuk, by my law of it, why didn't he do it on the southwest corner? Mishum Dersivi, Yotzel Mizbeach. As I said, he had to go beyond the Mizbeach, so he had to go to the southeast corner. So no, Ad Nafik Mikula Mizbeach, until he went beyond the entire Mizbeach. But once he's there, the Kiva the Yorba Karen, once he's on the southeast corner, he does the blood applications there, but then we want to go back and go to the southwest corner to make up for what he missed. Hadar Osil Ahu Karen, the Chayev of the Mesa Bereisha, we go back to the southwest corner as soon as possible. So even though normally we turn to the right in a counterclockwise direction, here he Bedafka goes back on the left to fulfill this idea of Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzos as best as possible. Now we turn to Nuntes Amud Aleph. Another answer is provided as to explain why Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Galili disagree on the counterclockwise, clockwise direction. If you're dealing with going around by foot, so then everybody agrees. The Kuliyama lo pligi the alfina and pinimichot. Then you can learn the inner Mizbeach direction from the outer Mizbeach direction. The outer Mizbeach, you have to go in a counterclockwise. So then when you're walking the inner Mizbeach, you also have to go in a counterclockwise direction. But guess what? Over here, there's an additional machlok scheme of keeping Rabbi Yosef Galili. V'hoch v'hoch k'mifligi. Marasovar hakofa biyad, or marasovar hakofa rego. Rabbi Akiva says, you're not walking around with your feet. You're standing still. Once you reach that southeast corner, you stand still. And therefore, there is no din of with your hand having to do all the hakofas to the right in a counterclockwise direction, and therefore, for the reasons that we mentioned, you can go do it to the left. And on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, he holds that you don't learn out the hand from the foot, but Rabbi Yosef Galili, Yomarasavar hakofa berega. Rabbi Yosef Galili says that you're turning with your feet. You're going to the northeast corner physically, then you're going physically to the northwest corner, and then you're going physically to the southwest corner, then physically to the southeast corner, so you're actually walking around. Oh, when you're walking around, all hakofos have to be to the right. That's another teretz. Another teretz, V'boi Yisema, for other teretz, the Kuliyama HaKofa B'yad. No, in fact, both of them agree that you stand still. They both hold like the opinion that says that you're not walking around, but you pick the corner to stand at. Rabbi Akiva, respectfully, on the southeast corner. Rabbi Yosef Galili, respectfully, on the northeast corner. And you stand there and you do the applications with your hand, but your feet are planted in the same place. So there is no machlokas over here, whether it's HaKofa B'yad, HaKofa B'regel. Kuliyama HaKofa B'yad. They're both saying that this is HaKofa done by the hand. But what are they arguing about? This is what they're arguing about. Marisover Yosef Lili says, Yafinon Yod Mi Rego. He says that we do follow the rule that by the Rego you go to the right, so too by the Yad you go to the right. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Marisover Yafinon, we don't agree to that. However, the Gemara says, is that really true? Marisover Yosef Lili HaKofa B'yad? Are you telling me that Rabbi Yosef Lili says you plant yourself in the northeast corner and then you just move your hands around but your feet stay in that spot? But that's not true. V'hol Migdiktani Sefer, our Mishnah said that the opinion that says that you're standing still is the opinion of Eliezer. So, the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he's the one that holds Bimkoma Yomid Mechate. Now, that implies that the Tanakhama disagrees with that. Miklan, the Tanakhama, which is Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that's his opinion, Lo Sfirulei. So, how can you tell me that Rabbi Yosef Aglili says you stand still? Rabbi Yosef Aglili is the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, and he clearly says that you move around. So, therefore, Ela Machvarta, it's clean, it's white, the Kedeshanina Mekar, that this third teretz that we just gave is incorrect. Marisovar HaKofa B'yad, or Marisovar HaKofa B'rego, that the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Yosef Galili is, do you or do you not do the HaKofos in one place, or just with your hand, or you physically walk around. So Rabbi Akiva holds that you stand still, and therefore you do the HaKofos by hand, and there's no requirement to do it in a counterclockwise direction, and Rabbi Yosef Galili, as stated in the Mishnah, clearly says you walk around, and when you're walking around, you're doing the HaKofos, you have to go Kolpino Shatapona Liyomin. Finally, one last teretz, Yibayi Seima, B'halkam Ifligi. This is what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Galili are arguing about. Mar Sovar, Soviv de Mizbeach Pinimi, Ki Soviv de Mizbeach Achitzon. That they're arguing about, specifically the Mizbeach, just like you have to go around, it says Soviv, in regards to the outer Mizbeach, and you have to do that with your feet, so you circle the outer Mizbeach in a counterclockwise direction, so too, you circle the inner Mizbeach in a counterclockwise direction with your feet. Rabbi Kiva holds that we view the inner Mizbeach, since it's so much smaller, as if it's one Karen of the outer Mizbeach. So while in the outer Mizbeach you have to go from one corner to another corner to another corner, that doesn't apply to the inner Mizbeach. He holds that the entire Kula Mizbeach Pnimi is considered B'mokum Chodok Karen the Mizbeach Yitzon Koi. It's as if it was one corner of the outer Mizbeach. And therefore there is no concept of Sovid. There is no concept that you have to turn in a clockwise or counterclockwise direction. And therefore he says that you would apply them the way Rabbi Kiva did, because of the reasons that we said. He first came to the southwest corner, but then he had to bypass it, so then he immediately goes back to the southwest corner. This concludes today's share.